In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. These verses from Jeremiah remind me so much of my time in the desert, a time which I believe was vital to my spiritual growth and a time that I will treasure always. If any of you have lived in the desert, you will know that it is a challenging and often a deadly environment. The desert can be completely disorienting in its sameness and brutal in its climate, with drastic temperature changes between day and night. During the noonday hours, 120 degrees under cloudless blue skies and a broiling, unshaded sun. 30 degrees and below in the dead of night, the sand acting as chilled rock, the bone-chilling cold, unrelenting as it creeps up through one's feet and seeps into every joint and limb. The desert is disorienting and full of illusions, too. Despite the fact that one is surrounded by nothing but open space, it is extremely difficult to determine what is in front and what is behind. The shimmering heat waves, the Joshua trees, and the other desert shrubs frequently melt into a blur. A Joshua tree or a bush can appear to be a man, and a man can appear to be a Joshua tree or a bush. Conversely, the desert is a place of great beauty. Vast open expanses with only the sky and distant snow-topped mountains display God's creation in all its glory. If one is seeking God, the desert is most definitely the place to be. God is in the very air that one breathes. He is evident in the vibrantly beautiful desert flowers and in the spectacular desert animals. The vastness of the ages, God's creation, can be seen in the multiple striations of the mountains, mountains that have been there since the beginning of time, once completely underwater, and now rising 10 to 12,000 feet above land. It should be fairly easy to see in the desert. Clear air, open spaces, no fog or rain, no traffic, and for most of the year, daylight hours that go on forever. Yet, it is very easy to get lost, to lose one's way. Very, very easy. And once lost, it is almost impossible to reorient oneself. It becomes terrifyingly difficult to find a path to safety or to recognize help once it arrives. So it is with us, whether we are in the desert or not. Despite the presence of God with us in open spaces or in crowded spaces, it is as if we are actually in the desert, a place where one should be able to see, but where illusions created by mere mortals, the Joshua trees and sharp glimmering heat waves of our everyday life, blind us in such a manner that our way is lost. We cannot see relief, even if it approaches. It is so easy to lose our way, so easy to be distracted by material, political, and personal matters. It is so easy to turn our heart away from the Lord. Jesus was a man of the desert. He understood the perils of the arid and barren land that was his home, the territory in which he delivered his message, the good news. Certainly, Jesus knew how easy it was to get disoriented, to get lost, metaphorically as well as actually. Certainly, he also knew that the open spaces, the cloudless skies, and the beauty that can be found in the barrenness of the desert were where he would find his way, where he would stay in touch with God. It was in the stark solitude and vastness of the barren desert that Jesus continually found and communed with God. No frills, simply the presence of God as sovereign of his creation. In our Jeremiah passage, the Lord continues saying, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green." This image reminds me of a place in California's Death Valley called Devil's Hole. Devil's Hole is a lush, green oasis in the midst of some of the most dangerous desert in the world. The oasis is home to an extensive underground water system that leads to a cavern 500 or more feet deep. Devil's Hole is where a species known as pupfish can be found. It is estimated that the pupfish have been residents of Devil's Hole, for 10 to 20,000 years. 10 to 20,000 years. Whenever I stood by the water-filled cavern watching the playful little pupfish and then looking outward and upward at nothing but pale yellow sand and distant 12,000-foot snow-top mountains, I was overwhelmed by the vastness and the beauty of God's creation. I experienced God as I never had before. There were no distractions. There was nothing except God as sovereign, God as creator, God the creator who had been present in this very place for 20,000 years. That distinct awareness of the sovereignty of God has never left me. I consider with awe my minuscule place in creation, a creation that is so vast and so ancient that it cannot be imagined. I am humbled by the thought that God created me, created all of us, with intention. We each have a role in his kingdom. That is for certain. During my time in the desert, my relationship with God was cemented in a new and lasting way. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the apostles, the disciples, and a great multitude of people, Jews and Gentiles alike, that those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are sad, and those who have been rejected will one day leap for joy, for their reward will be great in heaven. Conversely, Jesus teaches that the rich, the satiated, the happy, the well-known will experience great woes. Obviously, we don't know for certain what Jesus intended in this teaching, but we do know that these words were offered directly after Jesus descended from the mountain after a time of deep prayer, and that they imply that in order to be blessed by God, in order for our reward to be great in heaven, we need not be rich or famous. Rather, we need to have experienced the desert, literal or figurative. It is in the desert, in barrenness, in desolation, that we truly experience God the Father, the glory of God's creation, the sovereignty of God. Bottom line, we need to find ways that bring us into deep relationship with God, to know that we are God's intended children, and to trust that God is there for us always and forever. The desert, whether literal or figurative, is not a bad place to be, at least from time to time. The desert is a place where if we do not lose our way by succumbing to preoccupations and illusions, we can find God by seeing so clearly the beauty and sovereignty of his creation. Literal or figurative, the desert is the best place that I know to both see God and to be close to God. As we prepare to walk our Lenten journey, a time for reflection and repentance, I pray that we will set aside our tendency to place our trust in mere mortals. I pray that we will set aside our tendency to want more of anything, or more of everything. I pray that our hearts will be still, and that we will imagine ourselves in a desert surrounded by a vast, barren land, populated only by Joshua trees and bushes, and ringed by 12,000-foot snow-capped mountains. I pray that as we journey through the desert of our minds, our imaginations, we will arrive at Devil's Hole, and with joy and amazement, watch the pupfish play in water, water that has seeped into their cavern for 10 to 20,000 years. I pray that as we live the experience of our Lenten desert, having nothing but the sovereignty of God's creation to distract us, we will draw closer and closer to Jesus, as he walks in the Judean desert on the journey to his crucifixion and resurrection. I pray that our desert experience will carry us to a new place in our relationship with God, one which is cemented in a level of trust that leaves us like a tree planted by water, sending its roots out into the stream. Amen.